Well, if you started a series in Timothy about a month ago, we had a few teachings in between that for Father's Day. Brian was teaching on a message directly to men. He did allow it to cover women, but it's act like men, godly men. And then I was not here last week. I haven't had a chance to hear it, but I was told by my wife and others that Christo had a powerful message with the fear over faith, learning to practice faith through the fears that we have, the troubles and pain. So it is on the website, so I will listen to it, buddy. I'm looking forward to that. But getting back to our study in Timothy, Steve taught through chapter 1 on just learning to stay strong to the truth and the truth of God's word. Brian told us that we can have power in the quietness of life. Today, we're going to study some pretty potent things about the church, but let me give you a little background of where Paul and Timothy are at in this. By the way, Timothy, his name means God-honoring. What a wonderful name that I believe Timothy lived up to. To honor God with their lives is so powerful. But about 3 years after Paul birthed the city of Ephesus and appointed elders there, and you can read in Acts how they wept when Paul left, very true to Paul's point in Timothy 1, leadership began to allow lies and falsehood and wrong doctrine to come in. And Paul sends Timothy to be one of the pastors of this church to really learn to have them hang on and stay straight. So what he does in chapter 3 is he kind of wants to give Timothy a blueprint on how God wants the organization to run. The first of the year, we did a 4-series on sharpening the focus of the church by Gene Getz. If you remember that, it gave principles of how we founded this church. Just studying it through the scriptures, what is God looking for his church to be throughout the world? And we're going to look at that today, and I kind of thought of it like this. You know, you take sports, and let's take a football team. While they're in the game, they'll have huddles before each play. And the coach is shouting out some things from the sidelines, and they're trying to score and win the game. But prior to that, let's call it in the film room, the coaches are describing how the team needs to play together. And without that kind of organization, it would be pretty a chaos. When it comes to God's church, how much more? God is a God of order. And when he sets the church to be the church, he specifically gave organizational things that must be in place. And one of those things is leadership. That's what we want to look at today. So it's more of a teaching that I want to share with you and kind of bring it back to where we are at Hope. So if you have your Bibles or your phones and you want to go to 1 Timothy 3, we're going to read that. Let me see if I can see this. I can't. I'll use this. And hopefully this will match up because this is the new NIV portion that we have back in the back there on the shelves. Read along with me, but let me read it out loud. I want to read all the way through, and then we're going to kind of unpack it in a little different way. And there's a reason behind that. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Here is a trustworthy saying. Whoever aspires to be an overseer desires a noble task. Now, the overseer is to be above reproach, faithful to his wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him, and he must do so in a manner worthy of full respect. If anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become conceited and fall under the same judgment as the devil. He must also have a good reputation with outsiders, so that he will not fall into disgrace and into the devil's trap. In the same way, deacons are to be worthy of respect, sincere, not indulging in much wine, and not pursuing dishonest gain. They must keep hold of the deep truths of the faith with a clear conscience. They must first be tested, and then, if there is nothing against them, let them serve as deacons. In the same way, the women are to be worthy of respect, and not malicious talkers, but temperate and trustworthy in everything. A deacon must be faithful to his wife and must manage his children and his household well. Those who serve well gain an excellent standing and great assurance in their faith in Jesus Christ, in Christ Jesus. Although I hope to come to you soon, I am writing these instructions so that if I am not delayed, you will know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of the truth. Beyond all question, the mystery from which true godliness springs is great. He appeared in the flesh, was vindicated by the Spirit, was seen by angels, was preached among the nations, was believed on in the world, was taken up in glory. And I want to first start with Christ is the head of the church. Now, at the very end here, and some groups and religious organizations kind of take this out of context when they say this, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of the church. Let me just say this. The church is not the pillar and foundation of the church. That's why we sang that song today. The church's one and only foundation is Jesus Christ. And it's clear that Paul wants Timothy to understand that because he goes on to say, he appeared in the flesh, was vindicated by the Spirit, was seen by angels, he was preached on in the nation, was believed in the world, and was taken up in glory. Is that the church? Who is that? That's Jesus Christ. He is the foundation. Everything is built on him. We're in trouble if God's going to build his church on us. We're part of the building, a very intricate, important part. But Christ is the head of the church. Colossians says this. And I probably can't read that either, so I have it marked here. Verse 18 of Colossians 1. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. Ladies and gentlemen, people of hope, elders, all those who serve here, we have got to get this. Christ is the head of this church. Even though I'm one of the leaders, I am not the head of this church. I serve the living God who is head over all things and one day will rule over everything. Here's what the Bible says. Christ rules over all things well for the sake of the church. We have a Savior who is King, supreme, preeminent, and we must never forget that. Everything I want to be in this life should come because I'm abiding in Christ. I get strength from Christ, and so do you. So then, as we get the plans of what God wants the church to be, first and foremost, Christ is the head here. If one of your elders or pastors or overseers, and we'll talk about that when we get to the elder part, seems to be acting like the head of the church, you take him aside kindly. Now, it's coming in Timothy. If he doesn't hear you, you get someone else who sees the same thing. Take two or three witnesses, because it's very important that even though the elders are to spiritually rule the church, the physical church here, Christ is and always will be the head. And you and I must never forget that. He is worthy of our obedience. I love the passage in Revelation 5. When they have the seal that's in God the Father's hand on the throne. And the shout comes out, who is worthy to open up the seals? Now, if the seals never get open, future will never come. And the thought throughout that is John is listening to this. John the Apostle. There's no one. Here's what the scripture says. No one in heaven and on earth and under the earth that's worthy to open up the seals. And he's weeping over that thought until one of the elders comes and says, don't weep, John. There is one that is worthy. Here's how the scripture says it. From the tribe of the Lion of Judah, a lion. John lifts up his head and he sees the Lamb that was slain. And the Lamb is worthy to take the seal. And he goes to the Father and he takes it out of his hand because he was slain for your sin and mine. And the Father declared him worthy to open up the seals. And one day he will rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Christ is the head of this church. Let's pray that we never forget that. Then I want to take a little portion here. It's in here, but it's not seen, because we talk about deacons and possibly deaconess. It talks about the women. Some think it might be the wives of the deacons. But I first want to say this. Because what the elders, the overseers, the pastors are trying to lead is the congregation, the people of the church. That's you guys. You are the members. If you're in Christ and you're part of this church, you're a member of the body of Christ. He is the head. And he wants to know, and I want you to know, turn to Ephesians 4:32. Okay, you can see behind me it's much bigger, right? It's awful tiny up there. We'll do better at that. But Steph now does that for us, and wow, I'd be lost without her. Because she's serving. And that's what we're talking about here. It says this. So Christ, the head of the church, gave apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers, leaders, to rule his church, to teach his church, to care for his church. And here's what they're supposed to do. To equip his people for works of service. King James is for works of ministry. That's why here at Hope, if you're a member, all the members are ministers. You are here to serve and carry out the works that Jesus wants us to do. What a privilege. And I want to say how marvelous that is. Probably VBS is the greatest example of how we can see that being ministered here at Hope, specifically for the kids in the neighborhood in here. I just want to tell you as a leader, and Dom oversees that, and he's one of the leaders here too, and I know how that blesses his heart. But the percentage of people that have helped through the years, and this past VBS is just incredible. It's how God wants the church to work. It says it in Ephesians as well, as each one does their part. That's what happened at VBS. Those who worked at VBS for anything, made pictures, drawings, whatever that, just stand up. We're part of crew leaders. Come on. Don't be bashful. Stand up. All right? If you were part of that. What an incredible amount. Let's thank them very much. You may be seated. That's God's heart, that the church, its members, are ministering. And if you didn't help in VBS, I know that you're serving God in other areas of our church. That's the way God wants it. So we get to the deacons' part. And it talks about them having the same qualities as the overseers. And it spells that out pretty carefully. It's interesting, in both the overseers and the deacons, God adds this point in there that you must manage your household well. God is saying to us, if you can't live it at home, you can't live it here. Wow. It's powerful. The word deacon, one who executes the commands of another. They're caring for the poor. They're serving the needs of the body of Christ in a physical way. If you go to Acts, that's why they're encouraged to appoint deacons, Stephen being one of them who was martyred. Deacons are men of godly character that serve the body of Christ. Women do the same. They serve others. At Hope, we used to have deacons here, and the church was larger then. At this point in time, even with our smallness, we have deacons and deaconesses because they're serving each other and one another. That's the way it should be. Maybe in the future, we'll make that more official. But now, you guys are doing that work. Let me just give you an example from behind the scenes. And I'm not just highlighting this one person. There's so many that I could highlight. But Kim, where's Kim? She's serving in Learning Center, okay? Kim, whenever there's someone that needs meals, Kim Lytle's behind the scenes working that out. She gets to call you guys so that we can serve the body of Christ when people are under the weather or hurting or need those meals. There's so many of you guys that are doing that. That is what the church should be. And God is so honored by that. And I believe God is pleased by that because He set up the rules. He set up the design. Here's how I want my organization to work. Gene Getz says it this way in his book, Sharpening the Focus of the Church. Wherever there is organism, which is life, there has to be organization. So we have to be able to have a plan to carry things out. So I want to go now to the first part of chapter 3 in Timothy. The elders, the overseers, the pastors, the bishops, all the same word that God wants us to understand. And I just want to highlight a few things. You guys can read this, or you can get the book Measure of a Man. And Gene Getz goes through that so powerfully. I remember when we first started this church, back then it was called Family Bible Church, there was a number of us who began to see that God wanted us to organize, begin to plan and have a church. We read Gene Getz's book, Sharpening the Focus of the Church, and immediately it resonated to our hearts. This is God's way that the church should be run. 7 of us got the book Measure of a Man. We started reading, and I remember my own heart. I threw the book down. I say, there's no way I can live up to this. I can't do this. And we all felt that way. So we wanted to quit right from the start. Until we worked through it and prayed and began to understand in our hearts, God's not asking us to be perfect. God's not asking us to be sinless. There's a great word here that really carries over all the other characteristics. Now, the overseer is to be above reproach. I grew up a King James guy. King James is to be blameless. That word blameless is all through the scriptures. David has a prayer in Psalm 101 where he says, Lord, may I walk before you and walk in your ways blameless. I come to realize, even back then, that God's calling me and the other men of this church to live a standard that's up here. But I can, through Christ, live that way through his power. And I say that with humbleness. There's many times in my journey as one of the leaders of this church that I felt I didn't live up to it and I wanted to quit. I personally have been part of the leadership here for 37 years. That blows me away. Am I that old? And I'm realizing that I'm coming to the point where I want to begin to pass the baton. And with God's help, I've seen him in this journey personally and with the other leaders that we have here, how God is working in our hearts. We are not perfect men. But I believe each one of us have a heart for God. And you, as the congregation, need to be praying for us all the time. When we study the qualifications, and I'm not going to break it down, he's to be above reproach, faithful to his wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, and not a lover of money. And it goes on. These are the qualities that when we as elders meet, we need to keep each other accountable as well. It is so important, and I want to spend just a few minutes on leadership from God's point of view. It is so important as we look at these qualifications. And certainly I believe we need to be men who lead. But the qualifications go beyond leadership. The qualifications are godliness. And we and you must help us to be men who are godly, who spend time with God. I think I shared this once before. The church that I grew up in, they didn't have elders. They had deacons and trustees. Deacons really kind of played the role of an elder, and the trustees kind of managed the money. But I remember one time when there was some difficulty going on and we had a congregational meeting, that one of the wives of the deacons, the leaders, the spiritual, those who led in spiritual ways, shared, and if I was her husband, I'd probably get her home, but she made this statement, my husband never reads his Bible. You can't be a leader, a spiritual leader of God's church, if you're not in the Word. The Word tells us that. The Word gives me life. The Word reveals who Jesus is. He's the living Word. That's why he's the head of the church. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And the apostles, they saw his glory. Glory from the Father. And he gave him, it was full of grace and truth. That's where we get our strength from. That's how I am able and strive to live godly, because I'm striving to let Christ live in me. And we as elders pray for each other to do that. You need to pray for us too. I'm not going to go to these passages. I just want to throw them out to you. It's everywhere through Scripture how God sees leadership. And the Old Testament is full, here's how God says it, evil leadership. The third king of Israel, Jeroboam, split. And Rehoboam took Judah, the two tribes of Judah, and the 10 tribes of Israel. Israel, for its whole history, had not one good king. And if you read the scripture, they all compared him to Jeroboam. They were evil, like King Jeroboam. There was only 8 in Judah that were good kings. Isaiah, Jeremiah, all the prophets talk about leadership. Jeremiah says, God speaking, you tell my prophets, you tell my priest, they are not speaking for me. Malachi says this, talking for God, you priests do not have my heart in mind. As a matter of fact, I'd like to take your face and rub it in your own dung. Wow. That's what God says about leadership. And we cannot take that lightly. Jesus, the head of the church, has given, and as Brian stated in his lesson on 1 Timothy 2, God has given men to lead this church, his church, worldwide in a godly way. And oh, how we need help with that. Oh, the responsibility for that. We get deeper into Timothy, we will answer doubly for not leading in a godly way. And I want to tell you, I don't want to stand before my Savior and be chastised by the privilege I've had to lead this church for all these years. Pray, pray, pray for your leaders. When my small groups meet, prayer is for the elders every time. Boy, do I appreciate that. We need prayer. We have been given a high standard to live for God. We have been given a high standard, now hear this, to care for you as God's people. God loves you and has put men in leadership to love and care for you. That is an awesome responsibility. And I believe when we do that well, not only is God honored, but the church can just begin to accomplish all that God wants it to be. The banners aren't up yet from VBS. That's partly my fault. My team has been very busy. It will be up next Sunday. But we want to be a caring place where God transforms lives. We want to understand that genuineness is encouraged, that people here are strengthened in the Lord, and that each one of us understand that Christianity is a matter of the heart. My heart daily dictates whether I'm going to live for God or live for me. So you and I are encouraged to daily say, here's my heart, Lord. Take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. What an opportunity we have as a family here to live for God the way He wants us to, as each one does our part. As we prepare for communion, I want to read this to you. I read a little bit of it. I want to read it again. This is talking about Jesus. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. And He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn among the dead, so that in everything He might have the supremacy. That's the verse I read in the beginning. This is why here at Hope, at the first of the year till Easter, we read the story of Jesus from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Oh, that we would learn who our Savior is. Verse 19 of that passage says this: "For God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Him, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through His blood shed on the cross." That's how God has accomplished it all. Through Christ on the cross, it is finished. It's complete. It's done. The church can now start and be a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. We can be God's hands and feet to a world that is hopelessly lost. But we need to do it God's way and in God's time. And we can do that with great confidence and assurance that Christ will be with us all the way. As we prepare our hearts and remember what Christ has done for us, this is such a great opportunity to remember again His blood was shed for His church, you and I. And we can rejoice in that fact. And oh, Lord, that You would accomplish Your will here at Hope so that others may know the joy of knowing You. Let's pray as the ushers come forward. Father, I thank You for Your plan, Your masterful plan of the church. Jew and Gentile becoming one forever. And as we, through the help of our Savior, through the help of the Holy Spirit, cry out to You, Lord, let us carry out Your mission with love, with great hope, and with great faith. Help us to accomplish the things You want us to do. And we will stand strong in the power of Christ. So as we take today in remembrance of You, the juice and the cracker, may we be confident that You have paid it all. It is complete, finished, and that we would live in that hope. Live in that power for Your name's sake. Amen. We're going to hand out the elements, the bread first. Hold on to that, and then we'll pass out the juice and take it together. If you've never received Christ as your Savior, if you've never believed that He is the hope of the world, your Savior for your sins, it's okay to pass by these elements. This table is for those who have recognized and believed on Jesus as their Savior. We're to remember over and over, as oft as we take it, the love that Christ had for His church. the night that Jesus was betrayed and crucified, at that Last Supper, he took the bread and he broke it. And he told his disciples, "This is my body broken for you. Take and eat it. Participate in what I'm about to do." Then he took the cup. As we thought about the sacrificial lamb, "I'm going to be that sacrificial lamb for you and for us and all those since the cross who have come to Christ in faith." And he shed his blood for us. Thank you, Jesus. Take and drink all of it.